Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk production and distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP has been serving people all across the U.S. for more than 20 years, promising no less than their very best attention and commitment to making sure each of their clients has access to the answers they need, always being accessible. Their focus is on managing risk while always looking for opportunities. And since their own money is invested right along with their clients, their focus is on results. To see about their targeted investment programs, just click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com. End of commercial. And now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of InvestTalk. It is November 8th, Election Day. November 8th, U.S. Presidential Election Day. I hope you voted. Get out there and vote if you didn't. It's pretty important. And I want to welcome to InvestTalk. We're here to help the average investor try to achieve above average results. That's our goal. I mean, wouldn't that be everybody's goal? But hopefully we can do it with education and information that you could use. Not just information you can't use, but really you can use it. Now this hour we have a lot to talk about. Of course, you always set the agenda. On top of our talking point list that we give out every day, of course. But you determine the flow of the calls and what direction you want to talk about. Today, college costs a mountain of money, right? The good news is there are a lot of tools that can help you start saving for that college education for your kids or grandkids. Five smart ways to save for college. A couple of them I don't think are so smart. So I'm going to talk about those too. Now, as you approach retirement, I'm sure many of you are listening to the show, you kind of change your perspective a bit. You look for a more steady financial life. You trade growth for kind of a reliable source of income. You still want some growth, but you want that reliability also. As opposed to when you're young, you just want growth. You can be much more aggressive. You got lots of years and you want growth. Forget about the income. That's not too much of important to you, even though basically it's still kind of important. So steady cash flow is really important. But many investors are unable to distinguish a quality and dependable dividend-paying company from a high-risk company. So let's look at some of the factors you need to examine. To make sure, you're looking for a good, stable, dividend-paying company, because you can get into trouble zeroing on just the dividends and saying, hey, I want high dividends. You can get in big trouble. One of the things you need to look at, one of the basic things you look at when you're looking at a dividend-paying stock is a payout ratio. And that is nothing more than how much of its earnings is it paying out in a dividend. And we like to see 60% or less. Why 60% or less? Why 60%? Because we don't want them paying out all their money in dividend or even more than they earn in a dividend. You can't pay out more than you earn in a dividend forever. It's not possible. You can borrow money, you can issue shares, you can do things to make it look like it, but you can't. Economic advantages. You look for companies that have been around for decades, that have some kind of competitive advantage to fight off competition. Got to have that. Earnings and sales stability. You don't want to be up and down one year, down the next, up the next. You have to have stability to have the stability of a payout ratio of a normal, long-term, blue-chip, core holding paying a dividend. Do not let a healthy dividend yield distract you from the real story. You do not. Okay, that's just a little comment before we get the show started. Do you have questions about investing for dividends? We can talk about any money questions that's on your mind. So give us a call. Our 24-hour list line is always up. Let's get to the Q&A portion of the program. 888-99-CHART is our anytime
number. I have a 22-year-old daughter who is out in the working world now, recently graduated from college. Has $2,000 to invest. Just curious, like some recommendations or some guidance as considering where the market is as to where she should invest that money. Appreciate your show and all the information you guys give, and I look forward to the answer on the show. Thanks.
Well, I probably put probably about half of it maybe in the market right now. It's $2,000. Maybe wait till after the election. Of course, you have to. Then I probably, put dollar cost average before December, the end of December, the rest of the 1,000. This is the best time of the year to start investing, and no one knows where the market's going to go. No one knows. It took 9 days for it to fall a little over 3%, and it made up, 2% in one day yesterday? So no one really knows where the market's going to go. So, at 22, she just needs to get in and stay in. And she really should use index funds, an ETF, Vanguard ETF, S&P 500 index fund. I'm not supposed to recommend that, am I? Buy a nice index fund, S&P 500, any one you want. I like Vanguard because they're inexpensive. But it doesn't really matter. You can buy any index fund you want. 5 smart ways to save for college. That's one of our main talking points today. Also, how markets move between Election Day, which is today, and Inauguration Day, which is now January 20th. How do they move generally? Interesting, huh? I got some interesting. What was the worst and the best? The worst is pretty recent. The best is some time ago. But we'll talk about that. Q3 earnings are in. 90% of the companies have reported. We're going to talk about what the earnings look like. I think it's important. And that is election day. What's really fascinating about this presidential election is no one likes either candidate. There's a lot of negatives by both candidates. But before you decide to move to Canada to get away from them, I got some things we need to share about the difficulty in moving to Canada. So a little tongue-in-cheek thing there. So what are the things that would be a shock to you or difficult for you to move to Canada? And that's what we're going to discuss today. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. The market was up again today. The Dow was up 79, the NASDAQ was up 13, and the S&P up 7. And it's been kind of interesting. It was up big yesterday because you've heard me talk about it, I'm sure, because all the investors think Clinton is going to win. And that has been the case, but you had 9 days in a row. And then I think there was some poll data that indicated that she has the edge to win, and the market believed it. And that's one of the reasons why we've had this two-day rally after 9 days being down. Before that, since the announcement of Hillary Clinton's being investigated again by the FBI or reopening, and then the shutting down 9 days in a row, when it shut the investigation down again, market went up also. A lot of politics going on today. And we as the investors had to figure out what it really means. Long term, it means absolutely nothing. Nothing for investors. Okay, I hope you can join us November 12th. That's this Saturday in San Jose for a pretty timely Saturday morning wealth conference. It's all about managing change. There will be change in 2017. And it could be radical, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. So how are you going to respond to it? How will it impact your retirement portfolio? So join us, How to Prosper in a Year of Change 2017. That's the title. You can sign up right now on investtalk.com. 888-99-CHART, that's our number. Love to talk to you. What do you want to talk about? Anyways, we're going to talk about 5 smart ways to save for college. And maybe there's only 3. Not so sure about 2 of these. One, of course, there's 2 529 programs. There's a 529 savings plans where you actually put money aside, okay? And there's a 529 prepaid plans. And no one really talks about them very much. The savings plans is nothing but putting money aside and invest it. Okay? That's what that is. Try to remember, college is going to be $250,000 over 4 years. By 2033. So it's going to be expensive. Anyways, the 529 savings plan is just where you put money aside for your child, your grandchild, or whatever, whoever it is, and you invest it. The 529 prepaid plan is where you actually are prepaying college tuition. You're paying a college prepaid. And what the benefit of that is you pay it now, pay for tuition now, and then you don't have to, in 18 years, your kid goes to that college, you don't have to pay the tuition at 18 years from now, whatever it is. That kind of thing. That's the thinking behind the college 529 prepaid plan. Their Coverdell education plan, where you can only save about $2,000 a year, that is, you know, not just for college, and it has a lot more freedom in it. In other words, the 529s, you had to have accredited colleges. In a Coverdell, you can go to any education. It could be truck driver school, beauty school, it could be whatever you want. And you can buy, you can use the money for other things like books and computers, certain things that maybe the 529 plan would not allow. Now we get into two other things that this article that I'm referring to has, and one's called a Roth, the individual retirement account. I don't believe this should be used at all for college. I really don't. So this is a Roth. Let's say you want to put money in your Roth. You put, I don't know, $5,000 in a year. You can take that money out when the child's ready for college. The money you put in, you can take out without penalty. But you could do that anyway. But you can't take out any of the growth. And you can use that money for the college of the child. But, you know, the purpose of the Roth is for your retirement. And don't lose focus of that. Not your kid's education. And then there's the other one I don't really care for, and that's the UPMAs and the UGMAs. These are Uniform Gift to Minors Act and Uniform Transfer to Minors Act. And basically, you can put money in it for your child. But the problem I have with these is the money actually belongs to the child, typically at 18 or 21 years old. And the child can do whatever he wants with it. It's his money because you gave it to him. It's not really designed for college, even though you can want your kids to use it for college. So those last two are not really college savings. So it's basically the 529 programs and the two different kinds and the Coverdell. Basically, those are the two ways you can save for college. Voicemail. Let's get back to our 24-hour listener line. Pick up a question, 888-99-CHART.
Hey guys, how's it going? This is JT in Florida. I was wondering if you could take a look at First Solar. The ticker symbol is FSLR as a value play right now. After the recent drop, it's looking pretty good. It looks like they're sitting on a ton of cash too. All right, thanks a lot. Love the show.
First Solar Corporation, everybody. I think most people know who they are. They are a manufacturer and seller of solar modules for residential and commercial markets in the United States, Europe, and Asia. It is a $3.4 billion company. They're going to lose 18% earnings from $5.37 a share last year to $4.39 this year. And then next year, earnings are going to go down another 55% to $1.98 in 2017. And sales fell 46% this most recent quarter, after being up 4% the quarter before that, up 81% the quarter before that. Very erratic sales and pretty erratic earnings. So that means you want to buy this thing cheap because it's so erratic. And the stock itself has been falling steady. You know, the PE looks like it's really, really low at a $33 stock, but not if you look at $1.98 in earnings, then the PE is around 16. Not six, which looks like it is. So that's not cheap, not cheap enough. Low return on equity. I don't. Wait till it stops falling, because it's still falling. This is InvestTalk. Remember, we're not all stocks and bonds. 90% of Americans surveyed by the American Psychological Association said the level of stress they are feeling about money is not getting much better. Student debt, not enough savings for retirement, that kind of thing. Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. That's our Invest Talk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, listener line.
Hey, Steve and Justin. Thank you guys for this awesome show. I listen on the podcast. My question is, what do you think of USO, the oil ETF? Thank you so much. Bye.
ETF, exchange traded fund, seeking performance corresponding to the spot price of West Texas Intermediate Light Sweet Crude. The spot price. Okay, so now you think, where's oil going? It's all about where the price of oil. And I think you're stuck in a range. You know, you no longer are moving up, no longer moving down. The shorter range is between 950 and like 12. The longer range, you go out about a little over a year, it's 850 and 14. So you got to play the range. Right now it's at $10.10. So you could buy it here, and I think it will float back up to the $12, and then that's 20% gain. You sell it. I think it's stuck in this range. I think oil is stuck in the range that it's been trading at. Until we get some much stronger growth worldwide, or some significant weakness, you know, recession, I can't see oil moving much beyond this range. I just don't. Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
I'm always good, and I'm always happy to hear from you.
Yeah, I just had a quick question on dividends. A lot of times I'll see the stock with a yield of X amount mm-hmm. versus like a dividend payout of X amount. Is the yield figured after like commissions or something, or why is there like a difference a lot of times?
Okay, a dividend yield versus the actual dividend payment are two different things. A yield is a percentage. So let's say the company is a $10 stock and they're going to pay a dollar in dividend, a dollar, okay? So that is what the dividend is, a dollar. But the yield on that is 10%. So you got to determine, what are you talking about? Talking about the dividend yield, or are you talking about the actual dividend?
Uh-huh.
You see, so
okay.
Yield is a percent, dividend is always in a dollar amount, okay?
Okay, so normally if you say, let's say you invest $10,000 into a stock and it gives you a 3% dividend,
yes.
So you're getting like $3 at the end of that year
you
or
get
that quarter?
3% of $10,000 is what you're getting.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that'd be $300. And now, let's break it down to a stock price. Let's say you're getting 3% of a stock selling for $100. I'm using even numbers because I can do it. So 3% of a $100 stock, I'm getting $3 a year. Okay?
Oh.
So when they report the dividend, they don't report it in dividend yield. They report it in dollars and cents. So they say, okay, we're going to pay $3 per dividend this year for their stock. And they usually report it on a quarterly basis. We're going to pay 66 cents this quarter or whatever it is, okay?
And
okay. That dividend yield can change. That dividend can change because next quarter they can raise it or lower it. It's up to them, right?
Uh-huh.
The yield is based on the stock price. What if the stock price goes, if you're getting $3 on a $100 stock, okay, and that stock goes to $200. Well, $3 on $100 stocks, that's 3% yield. If it goes to $200 and you buy it at $200, now you're only going to get 1.5% yield. But you who bought it at $100 still get your 3% if the dividend stays the same.
Okay. So do they normally pay out like a check, or do they just add it to your account?
They usually pay you when you first open that account. The one of the questions they ask you, do you want your dividend put in where? The money market? Usually that's what it goes to, cash, money market, usually. But you can also reinvest it in the stock.
You know,
but that always gets messy. That I would never do that, Art. It gets messy because then your cost basis changes, and then when you want to know what your realized gain or loss is when you sell it, it's hard to figure. You know, it gets messy.
Oh. Okay.
All
right.
Thanks, Art. Appreciate the call. Dividends. Got to understand those dividends. The dividends are, you know, people say that the S&P all returns about 10% a year on a long-term basis. Do you realize about 3% of that plus is dividends over all that period of time? Dividends, not not just the price going up, but the dividends are added in there for the, you know, for the S&P 500. So don't think they're not important. They're pretty important. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. This is Invest Talk. What do you want to talk about? I don't want to talk about the elections, that's for sure. We're talking about financial stuff, money stuff. The only way I'll talk about elections is how it affects our finances, our market. I'd be happy to discuss that topic anytime you want. So we're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through it right now. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on InvestTalk.
In case we haven't mentioned it, KPP Financial serves clients all across the U.S., and if you'd like to have Steve review your retirement portfolio personally, you'll be ahead of the game. Steve carves out a few hours each month to meet with our podcast subscribers on Skype or telephone. It can be a very educational hour. To set up your time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, and then Portfolio Review, and someone will get right back to you. You're listening to Invest Talk for Tuesday, November 8th. Next time on Invest Talk, lower cost passive index funds have grown every single year since 2009. Everything you need to know about index funds. That's on the next Invest Talk. Have a question right now for Steve? You can get through 888-99-CHART from anywhere in the USA.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. How markets move between the election day today and the inauguration day, which right now is, by the way, January 20th. But before 1933, it was March 4th. March 4th. Can you believe that? That's what it was in before 1933. And who has the biggest record for the most return is Hubert Hoover. Now, he was elected in 1929. And hit, and the market went up before he was inaugurated 13.3%, but that was in March 4th. So he had a few months gain. Who's the biggest loser since the 1920s? Barack Obama, believe it or not. He was elected November 4th, and he was the inauguration was January 20th. The market was down 20%. Want you to now understand what I'm going to say. None of this means anything. It's just a matter of time. And think about Hoover. He got in at the very tail end of the roaring 20s. Then not too many months later, the market crashed, the worst crash ever. He's a one-term president. Barack Obama got in on one of our worst financial recessions we've ever had, right? So it's a matter of timing. It has nothing to do with them. The problem we have is we blame them because they're in the office when it's really not their fault. Anyways, I thought it was just an interesting stat. Now, you know me, I like stats. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Want to talk about electric cars? I can talk about electric cars. We're here for you. Beginner experience question, 888-99-CHART. If you're a podcast listener and you can't reach us during our live program, which we're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, you still can call us anytime you want. 888-99-CHART.
Well, hi, this is Bob from San Diego. I listen on podcast, love your show. I had a question about Agilent Technologies, symbol A, thinking about selling off my position in the stock. I'd love to hear your perspective. Thank you. Bye for now.
Well, I haven't had a call on Agilent Technologies forever. It's a $15 billion company. Manufactures liquid and gas chromatographs, mass spectrometers, and signal spectral analyzers. probably it's one of the reasons why I'm not getting getting calls on it. It's not that, exciting. It's a big company, though. They make $2. They're going to make $2.19 a share, up 15% next year. $1.91 this year. That's up 10% from last year. So the sales are going up. Earnings are going up. Those are earnings numbers. Sales are just creeping up, 3%, 4%, flat. So it's not in the last 2 years. It's pretty slow. Pretty weak sales. Maybe that's why not everybody is talking about it. And it's an expensive stock. It pays 1% dividend. It's a $45 stock, going to make $2.19. So it's 22 PE on a company growing that slow on its earnings. Well, the earnings are growing nicely, but the sales are way too small. That's pretty good amount of debt. Mutual funds are net buyers. Now, there's nothing about this stock I would want to buy. It doesn't pay enough dividend. It's a pretty big blue chip stock. Why would I, and it's not growing sales very much. Why would I buy it? Where's my catalyst for the stock to go higher? I don't see it. It's too expensive now. So I wouldn't buy it. A is a symbol, Agilent. It's not a stock I would be interested in. Time for InvestTalk 101. Is your 401k cluttered with litter? Now, there are mutual funds within your 401k. Most everybody has them. And many of them are gathering dust because no one's buying them or paying much attention to them. Now, one of the things you can do is take a look at your cost of those funds. And those funds that you have in your portfolio that are costly, that you really not doing that much for you, then get rid of them. You don't need high-cost funds. Now, clearly, funds in a 401k can cost too much because they usually don't go for the cheapest ones. But if you're paying more than about a half a percent annually for a stock fund and about 0.2% for a bond fund, you're probably paying too much. Also, check your contribution levels. Are you putting away enough money for your retirement? You've got to remember, you can put up to $18,000 a year if you're under 50. And how much are you doing? Anything close to that number? Well, if you're not, then you should be independently wealthy. You don't have to. I'm okay with that. If you're over 50, you can put $24,000 away per year. You also need to remember to rebalance it. At least once a year, you got to rebalance it. Make sure it's not out of whack, that you don't have too much of any one thing. Even in mutual funds, if you have sector funds, should you be in them long term? Not necessarily, because sectors rotate. But if you have S&P 500 fund, which is a broad spectrum of all sectors, then that might be okay to have, be overweighted in that. That's fine. It's all about just understanding what you have and how the market reacts. That's InvestTalk 101. Check out KPP Financial Answer to the 401k Management. It's called My 401k. It takes the guesswork out of, your choices. They make the choices for you. Find out more about it. Click on the InvestTalk tab on InvestTalk.com. And do you want to talk about your 401k now? Well, you can give me a call, 888-99-CHART. That's all you have to do. Let's go to Dan in Palo Alto. How you doing, Dan?
Hi, Steve. Good to talk to you. Listen to you on 1220 religiously.
Thank you.
Just had a quick question in terms of about GWPH, I believe, is the symbol, pharmaceuticals. Is it too late to get into it, and would you be touching pharmaceuticals given the election and the prospects of pharma taking a hit?
I don't mind. They took a big hit, and Dan, that is setting up for a good opportunity. I will say that. I think they're going to be opportunities to be had in the pharmaceutical area. I don't know if the answer is right now, but let's look at GW Pharmaceuticals. It is a $3 billion company. I'm sorry. Yeah, it is $3 billion. 3,000, this is why I hesitate, because it's 3,021 million. That's $3 billion. And so the way they wrote it, it's funny. Develops treatment for cancer, pain, spasticity, multiple sclerosis, and other diseases, okay? My problem with it, Dan, is it does not make money. It's going to lose $4.75 a share this year. It's going to lose $6.62 a share next year. It lost $3.34 last year. So why is it a $120 stock?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Why is it a $120 stock? Sales, they're only selling $3 million a quarter. That's nothing. Nothing. Something has to be going. And on June 27th, they announced positive results from a phase 3 trial for Epodelex used to treat some kind of Lennox-Gastaut syndrome. Maybe that's why. You know, but it would not be for me. I'd have to look more carefully, but looking at the numbers, it does not justify that kind of stock price. I mean, they don't make money. They're going to lose a lot of money. Cash flow is negative, so I'd stay away from it, Dan. Just too difficult.
Got it.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, you don't want to buy stocks of losing money and losing more money next year than they did last year and more money the year before that. No, something's not right. I don't know. There's some reason why it's selling for 120. They must have a patent on something. There must be something that's there, but I can't see it real quick right now. Let's go to Randy in Fremont. How you doing, Randy?
Doing good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
So, all right. So I have a 401k that I currently maxed out, and actually I'm using my 401k program, which I appreciate. I also have a separate IRA account that I've rolled over from my previous employment.
Okay.
It was a 401A.
Okay.
So that account, I believe it's called an SAM IRA account.
Okay.
And so it's mainly stock based. I may have.
Well, it's now in an IRA, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now you can buy whatever you want.
Right. So my question is, I'd like to contribute more into an IRA. You know, do I put it in savings or do I put it into an IRA? I've become pretty focused. I'm 40 and I've become pretty focused in my retirement stage.
Well, I would definitely max out the IRA and then max out the 401k if you can. The new 401k, do they have match for you, any money in the new 401k?
Say that again?
Do they match money for you in your 401k?
Yes, well, they contribute 3%.
Okay, so you put in at least 3%, so you get 6% total, right?
I max out my 401k.
Okay.
When I max out my IRA, should I put it into that same account? And if I do, because, you know, so like I said, the IRA account is mainly stock-based, but then the rest of it, I believe, is in a money market. And should I put that, I believe the max is $5,500.
Yes.
Should I put that into the money market side, or should I continue using it in the stock side? And then would you have any recommendations on that?
I would, first of all, make sure if you're maxing out your 401k, make sure you're allowed, depending on your salary and everything else, if you can put money in your IRA and still be tax deductible. If it's not, then you don't want to put more money in your IRA.
They're two separate accounts. So the IRA is on my own, separate, and then I have my employer's 401k is what I'm saying. So
I realize that, but there's still a maximum. You may not be able to put money in your IRA if you're maxing out your 401k, depending on your salary and your filing status, tax issues. You can,
gotcha.
In other words, you only, because there's an issue for everybody else. You can always put money in an IRA, but the question is it tax deductible? You don't want to mix non-tax deductible money with tax deductible money, because then you got to keep track of it until you retire and start pulling up. So you don't want to put money in your IRA if it's not tax deductible. And we're talking about a regular IRA, not a Roth IRA. It gets kind of complicated, Tony. So you might want to run it, Randy. So you might want to run it by your accountant. Make sure you're not making too much money. And then let's say you can do it. You could put it in your IRA. It would be on the stock side. You're 40 years old. You need to be. You know. You want to be somewhat aggressive to to try to get some good returns over the years. Okay?
Okay. That was the main question. All right. Yeah.
Thanks, Randy. Appreciate it. Yeah, you want to be a little aggressive at this point. Let's go to Tony in Cupertino. How you doing, Tony?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Steve. I'm doing fine, thank you.
Thank you.
My question is on consumer staples, you know, like yes. Procter & Gamble and yes. uh-huh. Colgate and Clorox and
all those
Clark
guys,
and,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, they've been falling for like 3 months, except for the last 2 days, but pretty much have been going down. And I was wondering if you think that's going to continue, or are they going to reverse and start going up?
Well, they will reverse, but the problem we've had in that consumer staples is earnings. The corporate earnings have been stinky for six quarters in a row. So, you know, it's not that these companies are having a hard time trying to make profits, you know, especially the big guys, Procter & Gamble and those big guys all over the world. They're all over. Procter & Gamble's actually done pretty decent, you know. But, you know, they're big. These are big blue chip companies that make a lot of money outside the United States. And outside the United States, there hasn't been a lot of, you know, growth in GDPs. So they're struggling. But I do think, you know, are you going to be coming to our conference this weekend, Tony?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so we're going to talk about value stocks versus growth stocks, and this is an area, consumer staples, an area where, you know, there's a lot of value plays there that I think you got to start considering. Yes, now. So, I kind of like that area. I kind of do. Okay, Tony, look forward to seeing you.
Alrighty. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tony. Yeah, just for everybody, Tony comes to the conference, I recognize his voice. Some people I just recognize. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Talking about earnings, the third quarter earnings are in. 90% of the companies have reported their earnings, and earnings grew at 2.7% year over year. Now, that's a sixth time in a row that growth has gone down. Six quarters in a row. Still growing. Don't think they're not growing. They're still growing, but they're growing slower and slower. So that is a problem. That has to turn around. And I do think, frankly, I do think it will turn around. I kind of think it will turn around. How much it will turn around, this might have been the last quarter where we've seen shrinkage, or might get one more quarter, the fourth quarter. That's possible. And unless we go into recession, I think we're going to turn it around finally. You're listening to InvestTalk. Now you have a partner managing your 401k at work. It's a new program from KPP Financial called My 401k. You can find out more about it now on InvestTalk.com. Click on the InvestTalk, the investment tab, and then My 401k.
The question is, you use the terminology GPE in your radio broadcast. What does that mean? What are the words represented by the initials GPE? Thank you very much.
Okay, that's growth to the PE ratio. Growth to the price earnings ratio. And the price earnings ratio is P/E, price divided by earnings. You get a number. And then you have the growth compared to that. And we like a GPE of 2 or higher, where the growth of the company is twice the P/E ratio. I mean, that's ideal, especially if you're looking for growth stocks. You want a high GPE number. If you're looking for value stocks, you're going to get, or big blue chip, you're never going to get a very high GPE. But that's just a relationship between the growth of the company and the P/E ratio of the company. For instance, I think the previous caller mentioned Procter & Gamble. Well, their growth rate is flat, and their earnings is $4.21 on an $87 stock. So you're talking about, a 20 whatever PE. Well, what's the growth to PE? Well, there is none because there's no growth. It's flat. So, you know, it's just another, you know, there's so many ways to look at fundamentals and technicals of a company. And the two basic things you look at is, of course, the fundamentals of the company. And that's all about earnings and sales and profit margins and all those return on equity, return on assets, all those numbers, price to sales ratios. But a technical is only looking at the stock chart and how the movement of the stock chart is. And is it an upward trend? Is it a downward trend? And there's a million different ways to look at that too. It's very complex stuff. I don't want to say that. It's very convoluted, massive amount of data. As far as being complex, not necessarily. It can be, but it's not generally that complex, generally speaking. So that's what the GPE is, GPE. Not using a lot right now because not a lot of growth. So you can't really, it's hard to figure. But you still use it. We use it on growth stocks if we're looking, but we're not looking at growth stocks now. Looking at value stocks. And that's going to be what we're going to talk about in our webinar coming up on our conference coming up on Saturday, 9 to noon in San Jose. You can sign up for it, $45 per person. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Electric vehicles. I don't think I ever got to the electric vehicle article I printed out a week ago, wanted to talk about. We have about 1% of our vehicles on the road, a little less than that, are all electric. This article I refer to, this person thinks that electric cars are a fad and that they'll disappear. And that's what brought my attention to it. What? Because I don't think so. So I wanted to hear what his arguments were. And his biggest argument, his number one argument is that internal combustion engine cars, when they start getting 100 miles per gallon, which he doesn't think is very far in the future, 100 miles per gallon, that is going to make them much more desirable and preferable over electric cars. That's what he said. And one of the reasons is this, because an electric car, you're going to change those batteries every 10 years or so, all the batteries. A gas car can last a lot longer than that. Well, it can, but can also blow up the engine. I think he ignores the main thrust that's pushing electric cars, and that is all about pollution and politics. Politics are pushing electric cars. They're going to continue to do so. And then you got the argument about pollution, and the electric cars put out no pollution, even though they do put out pollution because you got to charge it with electricity, and somehow that electricity has to be produced. But of course, Elon Musk at Tesla says, "Not really. We're gonna put the have your house be all electric panels on top of your house, or the roofing material be an electric panel, and that will charge your car, and there will be absolutely no pollution. Take you off the grid completely." Kind of like that idea. I don't know how feasible it is, but I like it. Interesting stuff. Our time is up for this hour, everybody. A reminder before we go. We're looking forward to this Saturday Morning Wealth Conference. I am. It's coming up on November 12th, 9 to noon. 9 to noon at the Hyatt in San Jose. You can sign up online at investtalk.com. I hope to see everybody there. Lots of people. And you got to sign up quick so I can figure out how much food I got to order. San Jose this Saturday. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today, and let's meet up again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Patlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.